again, we are broadcasting live from the Convention Center in beautiful Tampa, Florida. Randy Brock is here, and Randy Brock is running for governor of Vermont. We have a big affiliate in Vermont, WVMT. They love us there. I get tons
it's a great station.
Yeah, I get tons of calls and great notes and things from the people there. I really, really like Vermont, too. I've spent some time there as a kid, and it's just a wonderful place. I like the argument that I start with people about who has the better maple syrup. Is it Vermont or New Hampshire? And all those people in New Hampshire, Randy, they're relentless. They don't understand why you lay claim.
They're relentless, but they're wrong.
They're wrong.
It's as simple as that.
So you have the better stuff.
No question about it.
All right, I'm going to save this tape, and I'm going to play it back for them in New Hampshire. So you decide to run for governor. What was the impetus for that? What drew you to, hey, this is a step I'm taking?
Well, Vermont is going in the wrong direction, and I believe that we need to make a major change to restore Vermont to its roots, to take Vermont where Vermont has been for the last 221 years, a place of independence, self-reliance, where people can make their own decisions and control their own lives. And we're moving fast to a Vermont in which central planning, in which a small group of people in Montpelier seem to know better how to spend the taxpayers' money than they do. And I don't think that Vermonters want to go in that direction.
Do you feel like you really have hit home with that message to a lot of people who are disenfranchised?
Well, we're seeing more and more folks who, for particular reasons and issues, are concerned. You know, Vermont has become sort of a petri dish for bad ideas, and the worst of which right now is single-payer health care. Vermont is moving rapidly in the dark toward adopting a single-payer health care system, and we don't know how much it'll cost. We don't know who will pay for it. We don't know how we'll pay for it. We don't know the effect it will have on our doctors and healthcare systems, but we're spending literally hundreds of millions of dollars to do it.
Now, I should say, too, that you're in your second term, I understand, as a member of the Vermont State Senate. So it's
yes.
Not like you have no political background whatsoever. So I would imagine you're trying to round up, as you have to do, allies on your side to help you get this push for governor. And are you finding that you've got, that you, because you know it's a few people in Vermont or a finicky crew, which is what makes Vermont an interesting state. Are you finding you're getting a lot of people among your peers to really raise that flag and say, yeah, I'm right there with you, I'm frustrated?
Well, this health care is just one issue, and there are many people who are concerned about it. They're concerned about the unknown. They're concerned about the effect that it has on business. Vermont is perceived as by many as an awful place to do business. We're always rated 47th, 48th, or 49th in the nation in business friendliness. And so that, too, is a constituency. People who say, look, I want a job. I want a job for my family. I want a job for my children. I don't want my kids to pack up and leave Vermont because there aren't opportunities here. I want to make Vermont open for business. That appeals to a constituency, and it appeals to a lot of Vermonters.
Yeah, you know, if you get into that club, that governor's club, as you can see, maybe from the people here, I've talked to a lot of different governors, the good thing is really a tight, organized group, a lot of the governors around the country, so you'd also have support if you get into that. If you get into the office, you'd have support from others around the country, because there's several that are just in their, you know, just in their second year, etc. So I would imagine that I think it's one of the strongest groups in politics that I've come across, which I'm just telling you, I think that's that would be an interesting group to be a part of. Have you picked the brains of any governors by any chance?
I have. I've visited with a number of Republican governors around the country, and some of their thoughts, some of the things that they're doing are very, very exciting, and some may be very applicable to Vermont. But one of the things about being a governor, every state is different. Every population is different, and what will work in Vermont may not work in Georgia, and what may work in Montana may not work in Vermont. And so each state has to craft solutions that are unique to its state, its people, its character. But the one thing that I do know is that Vermont does need to focus a lot more on making our pie bigger rather than slicing it up differently and redistributing it, which is what our current governor, Peter Shumlin, is doing.
All right, from the jobs point of view, you know, you were a CEO of a top 25 security service company, right?
Yes.
And it was one that you started from the ground up. So you all on the national level, we know that the Mitt Romney message is, wow, jobs, jobs, jobs. I want to create 12 million jobs.
Absolutely.
You see the problems
and
there.
And you know that government doesn't create jobs. Entrepreneurs create jobs. And government's job is to create an environment, the fertile soil in which jobs can grow. And that's where my focus as governor will be, is to say, let's look at what jobs can be created in Vermont by entrepreneurs. Let's help them. Let's make sure that our rules, our regulations are simple, understandable, clear, transparent, and that we can make permitting certain. We need to do that, but at the same time, we don't want Vermont to look like New Jersey. We want to maintain clean air. We want to maintain clean water. We want to maintain our environmental protections because that's what makes Vermont what it is. That's our biggest asset.
I'm not going to tell Governor Christie you said that about New Jersey. So you're here at the convention, and what is, I mean, obviously from taking everything in and watching to see what's going on with Romney and the various speeches and that kind of stuff, and mentioning talking to some Republican governors, what else do you do on the ground level while you're here?
Well, I'm listening to a lot of the talk. I'm trying to find out what other states are doing, the kinds of solutions they're coming up with, looking at their applicability to Vermont. I'm obviously in talking with the media and talking with folks like you. It's not just talking. It's also listening and learning. This is a great place to see what's happening in America.
When you have, we're talking about how close we are to Election Day. You strategize. You have people with you that help strategize. What will be the big push? Or what will you do more of a tour around Vermont? Or what will you do to get your message out, to shake more hands?
Vermont is a place where retail politics is king. And getting out, I haven't missed an agricultural fair yet. And to get out and actually talk to people, but above all, listening to people. I've been to every county in Vermont on multiple occasions. I'm going to continue to do that. I'm going to meet as many people and shake as many hands as I can, and also listen to as many stories as I can and weave them into the campaign to make.
The stories that you're hearing, and I think some of it you've already mentioned, but what do you term as the top three things that people care about the most in Vermont?
Jobs, the economy, and unemployment. Those are the top issues that people are talking about. And we have one of the lowest official unemployment rates in the country, at about 5%.
Yeah.
But you talk to people and you say, do you have a friend, a neighbor, or yourself? Are you out of work? And hands go up. Then you say, does your child, your grandchild, did they leave Vermont? Not even enter the workforce after graduating from high school or college because they couldn't find a job. Every audience I've spoken with, 60 to 70% of the hands go up. And that tells me, and based on also what people tell me their top issues are, it's the economy. And those are the things that we really got to focus on and deal with.
Yeah, I was going to say that about the unemployment with Vermont. It is lower, but still a problem yet.
It is a problem. There are people who can't find jobs, and we're exporting some of our best. And we can't continue to do that. We've got to create opportunities. We have to recognize that we've got a lot of endangered species in Vermont. But the endangered species that's most at threat right now is the Vermont taxpayer, and we've got to protect him.
I like that, endangered species. Now, this is the biggest question everybody in this listening audience will want to know. Giants or Patriots?
Some of my friends are Giants fans. Some of my friends are Patriots fans. I stand with my friends.
Oh, that's nice. What a politician. You're electable. Randy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
Likewise.
Have fun. Don't let these wolves in Radio Row eat you up too badly.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. I enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, liquid CalMag vitamin D and organic iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product Tonixin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course. Information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Radio Row in beautiful Tampa, Florida, from the Republican National Convention. A lot of buzz in the air because now we're into the meat of everything. And Romney has spoken. A lot of other people have. Condi Rice. And, of course, Paul Ryan, the congressman from, I was going to say West Virginia, from Wisconsin. He'd kill me. From Wisconsin. He who is the VP on the undercard for Mitt Romney, of course, gave the powerful speech that a lot of people are reacting to. And we actually are sitting here with one of his colleagues, freshman Congresswoman Diane Black, part of the, I'm saying the Tennessee 6, Tennessee 6
That's
district.
That's right, 6 district.
6 district. Because at first, when your lovely, I'm going to call her your lovely aide, congressional aide, I'm thinking, came up to me, she said, Tennessee 6, and I was like, Tennessee 6? What, I know that? And then I thought, oh, the 6th district. Anyway, just having a little fun. You know Paul Ryan well because you worked on the budget committee together, and obviously his budget was played up a lot, both positively and negatively, as you can expect. So when you, as you were tinkering and going through all the numbers, you remember what those days were like? That had to be, you had to be burning some midnight oil then, right?
Oh, we sure have, and we have had lots of sessions where we really learned about the budget. Of course, being a freshman, I did have some experience back at the state level with budgets, but the federal government is so immense. And that's one of the things Paul does so well. He's a good teacher. And he took time to teach the freshmen about what it was that we were going to be doing in the budget committee.
Mm-hmm.
And then really, I think the most important thing is that Paul believes strongly in being very honest and making sure that we are looking at the budget honestly and we're looking at the future honestly.
What about all the cries about Medicare? And then he threw out, smart, you know, it was a smart thing to throw out, I think, on his part to say, my mother's on Medicare. What are you talking about that I'm trying to rob Medicare? That you're not looking at this correctly.
Well, I think the other party thought that they could use this as one of those planks that would help to defeat us. But I think that Paul is exactly right. We have got to tell people the truth. And when we're looking at the budget, Medicare is really the biggest driver of the debt. But we felt seriously that we could not change things for people who were in or near retirement. So the program, the plan that we have, does not affect those 55 and older. It does affect those, however, that are younger. They won't have anything if we don't do something about it.
Yeah.
And so what we did was put into a place a plan that would have given people choice. And it's always best to give people choice and market-driven so that the competition could bring the price down.
Yeah. The as being a freshman, when you step in and you have all these ideas, you run, you win, and then the reality hits, and then it's like homework on speed. Just speed is boom, 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 boom. It's crazy. So what was the most difficult hurdle, I guess, in getting to know the lay of the land? Because you have no choice. That's how it is.
Yeah, I think, Kate, that you put it aptly, and I heard some folks say at the beginning when we were in orientation, it was sort of like drinking out of a fire hose. And that is the truth because there are so many moving parts. But once you get placed on a committee, it does help you to focus. And because I'm on ways and means, and I'm on budget, those are the two areas that really are my focus. Not that there aren't other issues that are important, like national security and
right.
education and those kinds of things, but really I'm very focused and want to make sure that I do the best job that I can as a member of both the Ways and the Means and also Budget Committee.
All right, so here's the big question. Are we going to have a budget that's going to be approved, that's going to be passed ever soon?
Well, of course, we already passed our budget out of the House. It was the House budget. We passed it over to the Senate. It failed in the Senate. The Senate has not had a budget in 4 years. The president's budget that he put out did not get a single vote. Even the members of his own party didn't vote for his budget. So we're probably going to be on a continuing resolution, which is so sad that that's what we continue to do. As a matter of fact, Kate, I have a bill that I'm a co-sponsor of that says no budget, no pay. That if you don't pass the budget on time, then you don't get paid as a congressman, period. And that of course, is not moved to passage yet. It's in committee. But I really believe we've got to put some teeth in it to make sure that our congressmen, both the House and the Senate, are doing their job in passing a budget on time.
Yeah, I agree with you. The issue of women and Mitt Romney has come up. Okay, that women, he does not relate to women. Women are not going to vote for him. And women are a major chunk of the voting population. The responsibility, mothers, wives, concerned about the future, all that kind of stuff. I don't have to sell you on it. So I've talked to several people who work with Mitt Romney and say, wow, he was, I'm not selling you a bill of goods. He was just a great guy to work for. I had kids. He told me, don't you ever miss a birthday party. You have to leave. You got to go pick up someone. Go, go, go. It's okay. And I heard that, you know, 3-4 times. So do you think he's being unfairly portrayed as somebody who can't relate to females?
I think so. And I think that Ann Romney did a really good job with that on Tuesday night to take away all these sound bites that we're getting, sound bites both from the media and also from the opposition, to say, look, Mitt Romney is a real person. He cares about people. He's obviously worked with women in both his business sector and also in the governmental sector. It's just the way that the opposition wants to sell him, and I think opening up in this convention and having people talk about him in a very personal way helps the American people know that Mitt Romney really does care about women.
So do you think that she helped make that connection that could have more women saying, oh, well, wait a second, if I'm undecided or I'm independent or...
Well, here's the thing I think that women are looking for. They're not only looking for a leader who says, yes, I'm a good family man, I care about women, I've had women in major places, positions in both my public and my private sector, but they also care about the vision of our leaders because there's so much that goes on through the economy that affects women. And women want to know that there is somebody that's looking out for their pocketbook, somebody that's giving them choices on their health care. Women make 80% of the health care decisions.
I know.
And under the Obamacare, there isn't an opportunity for them to make those decisions. So they're looking beyond just this rhetoric of women, women's issues, because women care about the economy. They care about the future for their children. They care about the debt. None of us want to leave our children, or I have here with me my grandson, leave our grandchildren in that kind of debt. So they are looking specifically at a leader who's going to give them a promise of a future for both them and their families.
As a new member of Congress, still, you know, freshman congresswoman, what are your goals? What would you like to see happen? It seems as though the American people, because the approval ratings couldn't be lower, that all people think, honestly, because I do a talk show and I hear from people all over the place, that, oh, they just can't get anything done. There's just a log jam. There's no conversation. Republicans and Democrats can never pass anything. How do you break that log jam?
Well, I think we need to give the American people some feeling of confidence that we do have a vision, we have a plan, and that plan is a viable plan. And right now, I think one of the things that I continue to hear, at least in my district, is the uncertainty. Mm-hmm. They're just uncertain about the direction of the country. Businesses are uncertain about new regulations and new taxes. And I think if we can show a vision, a plan for prosperity for the nation, to bring us out of these doldrums and to get us back into prosperity so that our incomes grow, so we bring more home, so that we can have a vision for a brighter future. And that's really what I'm hoping, is that as we get a new leadership in the White House, that they will be at the table and willing to work with Congress, because that's been the frustration for me, is that this president hasn't been there at the table. He hasn't been willing to work with us. And that's very frustrating, that we put good things forward and they go nowhere because we don't have leadership in the White House.
So there's 60-some days before the election. What do you think it's going to take for Mitt Romney to win this? The polls have it really neck and neck. So in a sense, that's good, because initially he was trailing,
course.
And an incumbent president from any party, it's always tough to knock off an incumbent. But he's showing signs of, wow, this could really happen. What do you think has to happen for Romney?
I think this convention is the start of opening the door and allowing people to truly see the true Mitt Romney. Also, to be able to have confidence that Paul Ryan is a great leader. He knows that budget better than anybody in Washington, inside and out. And so having two confident leaders with a message that there can be a different future for this country and to bring us out of the doldrums, I think that's going to make the difference. So we're going to see those numbers shoot up.
The people in Tennessee liking Mitt Romney?
Yeah, they really are, and we're hearing more of that. I think that obviously Tennessee is going to bring Mitt Romney, bring the vote for Mitt Romney. I feel that strongly. But what I'm encouraging people to do is to get outside of our state and go to the surrounding states that he may have some difficulty. Go to Ohio. Go to those states that might be a difficult, West Virginia or Virginia, and a campaign for our hopefully new president.
Congresswoman Black, thank you so much for coming on America tonight.
You are so welcome. Thanks. And by the way, I have a Kate, one of my daughters.
You do. There you go. Kate Black, that's a good name. That's a strong name. I like that. Thank you.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with Nature's Natural Antiparasitic, Antiviral, Antifungal, Antibiotic, Allicin, the Heart of Garlic. Get concentrated protection with Ali-C and Ali-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com. One capsule of Ali-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills. With no garlic breath, Ali-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com, or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126. Protect yourself with Ali-C or Ali-Ban from AffinityHealthProducts.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural, non-explosive, 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at StoveInACan.com. That's StoveInACan.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Florida, the Republican National Convention. Who are we rubbing shoulders with? Charles Butler.
Well,
he's the voice, the man.
Here in Chicago.
Yes. And you know him and you love him, Chicago fans. I'll tell you what, he's not shy on his opinions. Whether it's sports or politics. So what did you think of Paul Ryan's speech?
I thought it was exceptional in that... you know, he's a player. He's a guy who's been on the field. He's a guy who's involved. He's a guy who understands the nuts and the bolts of what needs to be done in the country. And he's in a position now to put policies in place that, because that's what the president does. The president creates policies. The president doesn't create jobs.
Yeah.
He creates policies that affect jobs and that affect the economy.
Sure.
And they're in a place right now with Paul. Paul's in a place right now to help Governor Romney create those policies which will get us back on our feet and make us the number one country in the world.
Do you think, of course, the day before, Ann Romney took the stage, and the idea of supposedly Ann Romney was that she was going to hike up the likability numbers because Obama's killing Romney, doubling him up on likability for whatever you want to make of the polls. Do you think that was accomplished? Do you think people are getting a better sense of him, that for some reason he's not registering when it comes to likability?
Well, my wife texted me after the Ann Romney speech, and she said that she just won him the election. I think here we are 2 days later, and we're still talking about it. But at the end of the day, this is not about likability. I think everyone liked President Obama. You know, he's a nice guy. I know Obama. I like Obama. Would I vote for Obama? No. What, you know, he was a backbencher in Illinois at the state Senate. You know, he didn't do anything as U.S. Senator except run for president. So,
there you go.
You know, likability. Oh, yeah, he's a great guy, but this is not a popularity contest.
Yeah.
You know, do we like our leaders? Not necessarily. However, they're leaders. They get paid to lead. This is a guy who's playing golf and constantly campaigning and blaming other people. You know, Mr. Obama suffers from the same problem I think most liberals suffer from, and that's a lack of personal responsibility. So,
is it more about the ideology? The hey, this is my ideology. That's, you know, the Democratic way.
I don't think that Mr. Obama is necessarily a Democrat or necessarily an ideologue. I think that he has his way of looking at the world that he sees through his prism,
mm-hmm.
and that prism is through his two books. You know, being a Democrat was the way to accomplish what he accomplished. But I don't think that he is a very American person. You know, he speaks like a foreigner. He acts like a foreigner. He wasn't raised in America. You look at Zaharias. I can't even pronounce his name. I hate the guy so much. He gets on TV and he rants and he raves for an hour about how much he hates America because he speaks like a foreigner. He views America through a foreign lens. Barack does the same thing.
Yeah. Do you think this convention has elevated Romney for the so-called undecideds or the independents?
I think so. I think that the appointment of Paul Ryan to the ticket gives the ticket the juice that it needs, the youth that it needs to turn the corner.
What are you hearing from people in Chicago? How frustrated are they? You know,
I hear from Republicans and Democrats, because you have to remember, and this is something that's not talked about amongst us Republicans, Kate, that Republicans could not vote for Sarah Palin. Yes, you know, she's a nice person, but I can't see her being the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
Oh, yeah.
I left the convention our last convention, because after Mr. McCain or Senator McCain selected Sarah Palin, Governor Palin, I knew that we'd have a snowball's chance. Because my view was this, not knowing anything else about her, McCain gave up the only advantage he had, and that was experience. When he selected Sarah Palin, she had no experience.
I agree.
So, you know, Barack, what did he do? He went out and got Joe Biden experience. He got what he didn't have. So, you know, for me, I mean, I've been in politics since 1972. So, I mean, I can look at this and kind of go, okay, plus one. But, you know, this thing with Barack Obama was unique in that he's a black American. I'm sorry, he's an African-American. I'm a black American. Because his daddy was from Africa, and that leads to a whole bunch of other things, because, you know, in the 60s, his daddy could stay in the Waldorf Astoria, where black Americans could not. So, you know, I'm not going to go there, but the only thing black about Barack Obama is the color of his skin and his wife and his daughters. There is nothing else black about this man.
So,
sorry.
I get so many phone calls about that. Okay.
About what? What I said?
I have plenty of black listeners,
mm-hmm.
and they say, just say black, Kate. You don't have to, don't go down mm-hmm. that road of people mm-hmm. telling you, because I will get crucified sometimes mm-hmm. for that, mm-hmm. and saying that, you know, what's the deal with...
I'm a black American. I don't know nothing about Africa, and I'm not going
exactly.
back. Exactly. And you know what? All the Africans I know trying to get their black behinds here. Okay?
So what about...
Sorry.
So what about all that was made made that this is just the party of whites, and how can possibly
you know what the party of whites have done this for Black America, for America, period. When you look at Dwight David Eisenhower, he integrated the services. He implemented what Truman started. Truman always gets the credit. Eisenhower did the work. Eisenhower, in the first 90 days of his administration, what did he do? What did he do, Kate, the first 90 days? You don't know. He desegregated the federal government.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he desegregated the city of Washington, D.C. Okay. And so what comes up in 54? There was no Martin Luther King. There was no civil rights movement. He sends the troops into Little Rock to do what? To enforce the law, because that's what the President of the United States does. He enforces the law. What did this president do? Well, I'm not going to enforce DOMA, and I'm not going to enforce traditional marriage, and I'm not going to enforce blacks getting a portion of the TARP money. See, people don't talk about that. Valerie Jarrett told black institutional money managers that she would not help them get the money that was supposed to come their way. Don't ever tell me about Democrats and what they're supposed to do. Chicago is ran by Democrats. Black and Valerie Jarrett was part of this. Black contracts under Mayor Daley went from 22% when he got in to less than 2% today. That's a fact. See, I only deal with the facts. I don't get caught up in Democrat, Republican. Hey, black folks in Chicago have been left to be exposed, left in war zones.
Right.
We cannot protect ourselves, and the police won't protect us.
Right. What about Rahm Emanuel as the
Rahm is better than Daley, only because he brought McCarthy in to try to get rid of this violence. But see, they have something in place in Chicago that's unique. And Jesse Jackson and Daley One started this nonsense. They hire gang members to control the black community. They hire criminals to control the black community. They give criminals contracts to control the black community so that the criminals won't cause the city hall a problem. I mean, it is crazy.
Wow,
nobody calls it out. I'm just calling it like it is.
And you call it out, though.
Yeah, I do.
But
I do.
Why is not that exposed more? That's ridiculous.
Because it's a corrupt city. It's morally bankrupt. If you look at, this is what interests me that people really don't follow up on. You know, Reverend Jackson and Rahm Emanuel and other public officials have been accused of having life memberships at a gay bathhouse in Boys Town. Every time that comes up, it's kind of quietly dropped. I can't tell you if it's true or not because no one has verified, but no one's ever denied it either from their camps.
Yes, why would
so when it, when denied. so when the mayor of Chicago comes out and says, "Well, I can't support Chick-fil-A," well, he's in gay bathhouses. Hello, hello.
You are great. You're a delight. I need to have you on the show.
I'm just going to tell the truth.
I like it.
Hello.
This is why you are popular in Chicago.
I was and I am. And we're going to kick it off again. And we're going to have a lot of fun in Chicago. You know, but I just tell the truth. I just keep it real.
So Romney comes out of here. You got 60-some days, 68 days before the election. Is he going to win this thing?
I think he's definitely going to win. I think that there are a number of independents. There are a number of black people who are going to vote for Mr. Romney on the gay issue alone and traditional marriage alone. See, that's what people don't talk about. Remember 2004, blacks voted for George Bush. Why? Gay marriage.
Yes.
That's
a single
issue.
Yeah, you're right.
So today we have two issues. We not only have gay marriage, we have illegal immigration, which blacks don't support. They don't support a black-brown coalition, even though these Al Sharpton's gotten money from La Raza and Jesse Jackson's got, and they talk about a black-brown. There is no black-brown coalition. You know, these Hispanics and these Hispanic leaders are racist. And the biggest racist is that Luis Gutierrez.
Gutierrez.
He needs to be censured because he has an oath to serve America and American peoples. These are not Americans. These are foreigners. And I don't care what their race is. They need to go home. They need to go home tomorrow, as Barbara Jordan said in 1995 when she headed up the Clinton Immigration Commission. She said, if you're supposed to be here, you should stay. If you're not, you should leave. And deportation should certainly be part of that immigration process.
The great Barbara Jordan.
Love Barbara Jordan. She carried a Constitution in her purse every day.
I was in grade school. I sent her a letter, and she sent me a letter back, sent me a picture, and said, I am so glad that you know what we're trying to do here. And I was the biggest fan, and that started to get me interested.
Well, you should read that, or I'll put it up on my website so you can read it. My website, by the way, is charles-butler.com.
We will check you out. And
please
will you come back on the show again?
I'd love to come back with you.
You are awesome.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you are, too. Keep
thank
doing
you.
The good work.
Thank you.
All right.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
America. Land of the free. But how free can you be, really, when internet viruses and malware can attack your computer? Sure, you have antivirus protection, but it's not free, is it? Until now. Now, Zone Alarm offers free antivirus protection. And independent studies show that Zone Alarm provides better malware protection than even Norton and McAfee. And they're not free, are they? Declare your freedom and go to GetBetterForFree.com. That's GetBetterForFree.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Florida, the Republican National Convention. Coming up, we're going to check the mail. We have a lot of mail from around the country, mostly centering around what did I think of the convention and the speeches and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we're going to get to that. But very, very important is what's going on with Isaac. I've seen a lot of reports as to a dam and flooding and some people in a lot of parishes across Louisiana. Luckily, many of them bailed. They got out. They evacuated because lots of flooding's happening and people are on rooftops. It's very scary when you think of what happened with Katrina 7 years ago. Nothing of the magnitude of that, but I think a lot worse than some people had initially forecast. And Matt has been keeping an eye on that. Matt Johnson, of course, our Cracker Jack technical maestro. Matt, you've been watching this. You and I have been talking about this off the air. Have you seen some of these nasty pictures of people that are on roofs again? I thought we were done with that.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's very reminiscent of what happened, you know, back during Hurricane Katrina. When this would happen, it was Category 1 hurricane, and which isn't, as far as hurricanes go, it's not that strong. I mean, you would think, okay, we can get through this, we'll be fine, but it stalled over the city of New Orleans, and it dropped 25-plus inches of rain, and currently half the state is without power, and we're worried about dams breaking, especially along Lake Pontcarrion, which is one of the large lakes outside of the city of New Orleans. It's not so much damage in the actual city itself, but it's those surrounding communities that were actually spared during Katrina that they're worried about. There's an 11-foot high wall of water from the Mississippi River that has been flowing into these communities. Half the state, like I said, is without power, and over 1,000 people having to be rescued from the tops of the homes. And so far, only two deaths have been reported, so that number does not go up.
Yeah, hopefully not, and certainly wish the people the best in trying to fight off the floodwaters and all the things that come as a result of that. And, you know, as you said, it's very eerie, very reminiscent of what we saw with the Hurricane Katrina, the timing, the seven-year difference. And here in the Republican National Convention, Matt, you know, we've been talking about it. It hasn't overshadowed it, but people are worried about it. So Isaac is weakening, but it still packed a huge punch. And, you know, you had people in that had to be picked up in boats. Neighbors were helping neighbors. Homes were flooded. And it forced dozens of people to have to get out of certain parishes, as we said, in the path of Isaac. And Isaac has had a maximum sustained winds, they say, of about 80 miles an hour. Knocked out power to, did you say this? Knocked out power to almost a million people?
Yeah, almost a million people. And it seems like about half the state are saying it's going to have power problems.
Wow. All right, I promised I would get to the mailbag. Thanks, Matt. We're going to take a, I mean, I got to hear the mistress thing, so here we go. We're off to the mailbag. Bum, 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 bum. Checking the mail. Jack, listening to us in Vermont, says, Kate Delaney, I can't believe that you went to the Republican National Convention. What's it been like? What's the atmosphere there like? I'm wondering if people are glum, happy, or what? What a question. Of course people are happy. How could you not be happy at a convention? Everybody thinks they're going to win no matter what. And the atmosphere is that. With the media, people are running around stepping on each other trying to get interviews because you have 15,000 people in the media that are here. But as far as other people, delegates and people that are excited to be at the convention, that's the word. It's excitement and optimism. I think a lot of people that are here definitely believe that Mitt Romney can beat Barack Obama in November. All right, here's another one. This one from Bob in Connecticut. Bob says, Delaney, I know that you were almost in the path of Isaac. I'm sure you're keeping an eye on what's happening. Are the people in Tampa relieved that they did not find themselves in the situation that the people from Louisiana are now in? Of course, Bob. Of course they're happy that they're not there, but not happy for people in Louisiana and Mississippi that are dealing with this. But yes, that was so much a part of the conversation for the first day, really 2 days, because as you all know, Monday the convention was canceled. So it became a three-day convention, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. So things had to be shortened as a result. And we talked to the mayor of Tampa, and he said he made the right decision, and some things were a little bit exaggerated, but that he's glad that he made the decision because it's all about evacuating if you get into a hurricane, and he couldn't take the risk that there would be massive damage or flooding or any of that kind of thing. So, yes, the conversation was about Isaac, but, yes, the people are happy, of course, that they didn't get slammed by Isaac. All right, here's one from Jake, who emails us constantly from Austin, Texas. And Jake says, Kate, who are some of the cool people that you've gotten to meet? Are there any celebrities that are milling around? And it's an interesting question. We've been taking a lot of pictures with people on Radio Row, and you have like Chuck Woolery. Who knew he does some kind of a radio show? Remember the former game show host, Geraldo Rivera? In a way, is a sort of a pseudo celebrity, I guess, because of his Fox ties and show and whatnot. And then you have somebody told me there are a lot of B-listers. And I think that there's more than B-listers, but Stephen Baldwin was here, and he's on the network, and a lot of people were following him around, filming him, and he was on a bunch of different shows and whatnot. So yes, there are some celebrities here. I think the real celebrities are the rock stars of the party. I call them the C-SPAN rock stars. And this is their baby, and there's supposed to be a surprise guest at the convention. And from what I understand, it is Clint Eastwood is the surprise guest, that he's going to speak. If that's true, who knows? But that's the rumor that I hear, that it's Eastwood. And, you know, the lid will be blown off the top of the forum if, in fact, it is. All right, let's go to another one. We've got one here from Gail from Dallas. Gail says, have you been keeping an eye on what's happening with the mosquito problem? I know you were talking about that a lot on your show with West Nile. Does this continue to be a big deal? Well, of course it's a big deal, except for that what's happened now is we're at the tail end of the summer. So now the cooler weather will help cut down on some of the problems. The CDC is still saying that when you go outside, you want to spray yourself with repellent and make sure it has DEET in it and wear long sleeves. And of course they're saying that because they still continue to get cases. They're usually a couple of weeks lagging behind, so that makes sense. Gail, I hope I answered your question. It was sad. Some of the zip codes that were the hardest hit, people with diabetes, people with cancer, older people, younger people, are susceptible to West Nile. So it wasn't a good situation across the country, and certainly not in Texas, which turned out to be ground zero for West Nile. All right, let's try to squeeze in a couple more. This is amazing for me because I go off on my tangents. All of you know it. But let me take a couple here. This one from, I'm sorting through them as I'm sitting here doing this. This one from The Ram. See, The Ram got my attention. This one from The Ram, who says, America Tonight, I wonder how much longer you're going to be at the Republican convention all the way through, and are you going to the Democratic convention? Not going to the Democratic convention, and of course, yes, we're seeing the Republican convention all the way through. The Ram also says, what did you think of Ryan's speech? And I would say it was a good speech because he did what he needed to do. His job was to be aggressive. His job was to talk tough. His job was to do what he does. I mean, he was the kid on the hill, and he's been elected over and over again for fighting against the tide. So he told the delegates what he thought, pretty much that Obama's presidency, I think I've said this once already, the big quote was, adrift, surviving on slogans that already seem tired, grasping at a momentum that has already passed. So his selection certainly was a gamble for Mitt Romney, but a gamble that might pay off for him. Remember, you can always keep in touch with us just like those people did, all of them, by sending me your thoughts to americatonight.net.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.